Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Centre. I'm Vishnu Shom on the programme tonight. The intense rainfall over large parts of South India leaves part of India's IT capital in deep trouble, flooded and with slowly receding waters. On the show tonight, we look at the problem of encroachments in Bengaluru, the perpetual problem of poorly silted drains, and how this is a recurring problem. If it drains as heavily as it did, the infrastructure to drain away water just collapses. Next on the show, the expelled Janata Dal United leader Pawan Verma and the Congress's Kirti Azad joined the Trinamool Congress in Delhi this evening in the presence of Mamata Banerjee in a move that marks the Bengal Chief Minister's first foray into Bihar. The induction of Mr. Verma and Mr. Azad are significant moves as Ms. Banerjee slowly expands her party's national footprint in order to challenge Prime Minister Modi and the BJP in 2024. Pawan Verma is our newsmaker on the show tonight. But first, this report on the situation in Bengaluru, the collapsing infrastructure because of the heavy rainfall.
A sunny day after a long time in Bengaluru. But residents of this large apartment complex in Yelahanka are leaving. In boats, in cars, or wading through the water left by incessant rain that has still not drained away.
Absolutely no water.
No water, no electricity?
No electricity. I had a UPS and little water filled in.
Yes.
But that's not enough. We are finding it very difficult.
So you're leaving and going
Honestly speaking, I didn't even brush my teeth today.
Temporary measures like this, the breaking of the compound wall to make sure that the water can in fact leave the apartment complex. Chief Minister Basavaraj Bommai, who spoke to the Prime Minister about the flood damage in the state, visited the apartment complex.
We are all clearing it and we are taking a lot of permanent measures like making main drain clear and building new drains.
The 25-year-old apartments house thousands of people and is built close to the Yelahanka lake bed. Encroached lake beds and blocked stormwater drains have seen repeated floods in this landlocked city. The Jawaharlal Nehru Center for Advanced Scientific Research, also near a lake, saw water entering the labs for the very first time. Damage is still being assessed at the Multidisciplinary Research Institute.
The lake is now, you know, just showing its presence right in the campus. So the campus itself looks like part of the lake itself. But first time we have had the water entry into the lab, and that has caused a lot of damage. Problem is with respect to the samples, particularly the biological samples. And besides that, we have very sophisticated instruments all around the campus here. And some of the sophisticated instruments are now have seen, water levels and also moist conditions, which are not good for the health of the instrument.
The Manyata Tech Park was also badly flooded and also built in a very vulnerable spot right in a valley. This is certainly not the first time that landlocked Bengaluru has seen flooding. The reasons, buildings coming up on lake beds, coming up on storm water drains, encroachment of these lakes and drains causing that flooding. The Chief Minister has promised permanent solutions and the residents of the city can only hope that will actually happen. With DM Kumar, Maya Sharma in Bengaluru for NDTV.
And that's the situation of India's IT capital, parts of Bengaluru. Well, joining us now, Raj Bhagat. He's a senior manager, Geo Analytics at WRI India. He's been surveying or looking at all of this very, very closely. Shiv Prasad is a resident of Kendriya Vihar, Yelahanka, one of the areas which was flooded. Dr. Vasudev Sardam, a resident of JP Nagar, another area which was badly impacted. We'll also be joined by Gaurav Gupta, the Bengaluru Municipal Commissioner. I'd like to thank all of you very much for being with us. Dr. Vasudev Sarda, how badly have you been affected?
See, as a Bangalorean, I can see that entire Bangalore today is more or less submerged. The reason, I'm last 35 years in Bangalore. I have never seen such flooded Bangalore. The reason, three reasons I can give. Encroachment. See, all the lake beds, they have their own tributaries, rivers, they have natural path. They remember all the tributaries and nalas, everything. They remember their natural path, like what we remember. And they always, whenever there is a rain, they take same route. And now everywhere, concrete buildings. Where this water has to go? It has to enter in our home, in our area. We have taken their area, so definitely the water has to enter in our area.
Could you tell us about what happened in your home or your friends' homes? How high was the water? Has it receded?
It is not basically in my home, but lot of my friends.
Right, and what
they have affected.
And is the water receding? Has it gone away or is it still inside homes?
It's still inside the home. Where it will go?
Right. And is there any guarantee or assurance from municipal authorities on what they will do to get this water out of home?
That is every year same story. And same story we are seeing every year. They come, they give you assurance.
And nothing happens. Okay, let me go across to Raj Bhagat. Raj Bhagat, one of the points that you were tweeting out earlier today is if you look at some of the areas, for example, Manyata Park, an IT hub, it's located in a valley. So quite beside the entire issue of encroachments is the location of, you know, an IT hub. It has to make sense. You can't just place a building in an area that you feel like. How is this area particularly vulnerable to flooding?
Right. So, I mean, the geography of Bangalore is very simple. You have ridges and valleys, where valleys is where water is going to flow. It's where it's going to accumulate, as well as it is going to flow in once there is an extreme amount of rainfall. But before understanding that, we need to understand what these valleys are, what the lakes are, etc. That is very critical, actually. Before urbanizing, it was, the valleys, they built bunds and they created lakes. And once they had created lakes, they modified the drains at that point itself when it was an agricultural land, because it was primarily for agricultural purposes, they were creating canals. But once we are urbanizing, this topography and the situation is changing, and it is not going to be the same as what it was earlier. And unfortunately, we didn't have that idea how it is going to change at that time, and our planning process was not very scientific. Even now, actually, the previous master plan suggests fixed buffers around water bodies and drains, which is not very scientific. These problems are not necessarily illegal also. We are not talking about encroachments. This is not an encroachment related problem. Many of these areas that are affected are actually legal. But the problem is it's not scientific. The approach has not been scientific. It has not been incorporated into our plans. It has not been accounted for. And since the change has happened, we haven't redesigned our stormwater drain network. This is not unique to Bangalore. This is a common problem that is happening across the cities, that we are not designing our stormwater drains once the urbanization happens. We are assuming that if you have a small drain, everything will flow in the
right, and that's just not the case. I want to go back to Dr. Sarda. Dr. Sarda, we saw some incredible videos actually of snakes in somebody's house or inside a building. Could you tell us, accounts like that about how people on the ground have suffered as a result of these floodwaters?
See, that snakes you can see here and there sometimes, but what's about the gastroenteritis diseases, cholera, dengue, malaria, typhoid? My patients are unable to reach me because they are just got caught in their four wall. All around water, water, water. They are calling me. I prescribe them online medicines, but from there, where they can get? How they can get?
Right.
And that's the big problem.
Yeah. And what about the old and the infirm who've had to be shifted out of their homes? That's been a difficult process as well.
Definitely, it is difficult especially for the infants to get their milk, for the old people getting their regular medicines, diabetic patient, hypertension. As a diabetes, if you don't get the medicines, you will have a big problem. Same thing for the hypertension. Labor patient. Where the labor patient will go? How they will go out? Somebody is in the labor. What they will do?
Raj, from what you understand, what has been the extent of flooding across Bengaluru? Is it only largely in Yelahanka and, say, Manyata Park? I'm talking about serious flooding. Could you give us an idea?
This particular incident is focused on North Bengaluru along the Hebbal Valley, wherever it had, around Yelahanka, you had 15 centimeter of rainfall. and it has been like that. But this is this specific incident. I mean, previously in the last month, we had one incident in airport. Previous year, we had it in southern Bangalore. So it is always like something that will be, you know, one day of 10 centimeter rainfall in one place, the corresponding valley would be affected.
Right.
So that is the situation. And Manyata Tech Park, however, last year also it was affected. I remember tweeting the same map last year also. So it's prone, actually.
It's absolutely bizarre. A city as prosperous as Bengaluru, to be our IT hub, to be in this situation. Well, I tried to get a couple of straight answers from the commissioner of the Bengaluru municipality, Gaurav Gupta. I interviewed him earlier today. Here's what he said. It's been a relatively clear day over large parts of Karnataka, but the very heavy rainfall that we've seen in Bengaluru and other parts over the last 48 hours or so continues to be a cause of major concern, with water levels receding, but receding relatively slowly. In parts of Bengaluru, particularly the Yelahanka area, we've seen apartment complexes with water levels actually going up in some places, water having actually entered, causing a huge inconvenience. We've seen IT areas with the IT industry. Some of those areas have seen a great deal of water as well. Joining us now to give us an idea of the extent of the flooding and who really is responsible, Gaurav Gupta, the BBMP commissioner. Thank you, Mr. Gupta, very much for being with us. It's not the first time this has happened. It's a recurring problem. Does this have to do with low-lying areas and construction in areas where there should not have been construction in the first place?
Yes, to a certain extent, yes. But Bangalore is a very big city. It's a city of over 13 million population. And what has happened is very recently that there has been a very intense spell of rain, 138 mm of rainfall in a matter of 3 hours, which is almost a month of rainfall in a matter of few hours. And that has led to number of tanks in northern part of the city breaching and overflowing, and that has led to the present crisis. However, there have been certain other parts of the city, in the southern side or in the eastern side, where the tech sector is also located, which have not been affected at all. So the situation has been limited to few areas, and we hope to get over that as soon as possible.
Another recurring complaint has been silting or desilting. Is this a cause for some of the flooding right now, that the rainwater drains are silted, they've not been satisfactorily desilted, which has resulted in water levels still being relatively high in some places?
Yes, that's right. In the city center, we have had RCC retaining wall stormwater drains, which do not get silted. And which are also able to prevent any kind of encroachments. And we are progressively increasing the length of these remodeled stormwater drains with RCC retaining walls, etc., which not only prevent siltation and also the encroachment, but also prevent the outflow of the water whenever there is a flood-like situation to the low-lying. So this is a capital intensive project, and this is being extended over more and more kilometers over a period of time. This year it has now been decided another 100 kilometers of Kacha drains in the city periphery areas will be converted into remodeled stormwater drains, which will prevent any kind of such occurrence.
Thank you very much for sharing your views. Thanks very much indeed. Well, we've got comments which have come in on KU. Shivangi is a student who says, why are we not taking our environment seriously? Not just the environment in this case, it's also encroachments and so many other factors as we've discussed. A comment from Vivek who says, a flood is something that is common these days. The rain that we are getting in a single day is almost equal to a month. It's all because of climate change, but we should realize that climate change is the effect of destruction that we made in nature in the name of development. So this flood is a man-made disaster. There is no doubt about it. Tend to agree completely with that assessment. Well, up next, the expelled Janata Dal United leader Pawan Verma and the Congress's Kirti Azad have joined the Trinamool Congress in Delhi. today in the presence of Mamata Banerjee in a move that marks the Bengal Chief Minister's first foray perhaps into Bihar. The induction of Mr. Varma and Kirti Azad are significant moves as Ms. Banerjee slowly expands her party's national footprint in order to challenge Prime Minister Modi and the BJP in 2024. Pavan Varma joins us now. Thanks, sir, very much for being with us. Is this because you see Mamata Banerjee being strong enough to seriously challenge Narendra Modi and the BJP in 2024? I ask because many would suggest that Mamata alone would not be able to do that. A united opposition might.
It's not about whether Mamata ji is strong enough immediately, but it's about the intent. Any democracy, Vishnu, needs a strong opposition, and no political party has a monopoly on power perennially. In a democracy, you must have a strong opposition that can challenge government policies and actions and hold the government accountable. In my view, Mamata ji and the TMC, whether in its present form or its national incarnation, has the potential, the ability to create a pan-Indian opposition, not only alone but with allies, in a manner which any democracy needs. Since I left the JDU, I have given a lot of thought, a lot of analysis to the current situation, and I do believe that this country needs to restore a large dollop of sanity.
Mr. Varma, what would your role?
That a strong
what would your role be in the Trinamool Congress? You know, what do you foresee of yourself looking ahead at, say, the next elections?
I will do whatever I am required to do. I hope, as an ordinary worker, I have a voice in certain policy decisions, but even that is not essential. I believe in contributing my might, however small, to a bigger cause. And that's a national cause, Vishnu. And that cause is that in a democracy, to create an opposition in the form of Mamata ji and the TMC, which is able to keep the current government in particular accountable.
But I take that point entirely about how, you know, there needs to be a viable opposition which, you know, has a role in keeping the government in check. But what about the role of, say, someone like Prashant Kishore? You've worked very closely with him in the JDU in the past. Both of you have been expelled from that party. Is this part of a strategy where Mr. Kishore believes that bringing in leaders from largely the Congress party into the Trinamool fold is the way forward? That Mamata Banerjee represents a force stronger than the Congress itself. You, of course, haven't come from the Congress, but you are another leader who fulfills that goal. Essentially, a replacement for the Congress with the Trinamool Congress.
It is not my habit, Vishnu, to pass a comment on other parties. But I can say this, the nation has waited. Waited patiently and sometimes impatiently for the Congress to revitalize and transform itself. If some of us feel that that is not happening,
yep,
and yet there is a need to create a strong opposition, I believe that in Mamata ji, we have the fire and the energy and the unrelenting goal, accompanied by the right vision, to take on the BJP.
Right.
There is no crime in having aspirations,
sure,
to be in opposition to a ruling government.
Right.
Mamata ji has just demonstrated it quite emphatically, again against all odds, in her win in the West Bengal government.
Right.
In the face of the apparent Congress decline, there is a space for a political party to move beyond its regional moorings towards a pan-India canvas, to make the right allies and to provide the right matrix for a strong opposition, which any democracy needs.
Right. So my question is actually linked to what you're saying. You have a background in the politics of Bihar. Is this a first step, your induction into the party, as Mamata Banerjee and the Trinamool Congress trying to have a say possibly in the politics of Bihar in the future? Is number one. Number two, they are now trying to make their mark, is the Trinamool Congress in Goa, much more in Tripura than perhaps in the past as well. And of course, they've succeeded again in Bengal. So you were talking about a pan-India party, but let's talk a little bit about Bihar. Do you believe the Trinamool will be a factor in your state?
I can share with you that there is a state-specific strategy that will unfold, not only in Bihar, in other states as well, which will contribute to the TMC's emergence with a national presence. I'm not privy to all the details, nor do I think it advisable or judicial to reveal everything at this stage. But there are state-specific plans. The main point is that this attempt is organized, strategic, credible, and grass-rooted, methodical, with a clear vision and goal.
So, sir,
and that is what
the Trinamool Congress
because
has
otherwise
specific
the opposition
plans for
is
Bihar.
Far too fractured.
The Trinamool Congress has state-specific plans for Bihar. Can you
I
confirm
think so.
That? Yes. And what are the other states, sir, apart from Tripura and Goa?
I
that
think so,
seen?
And without a doubt.
And what are the other states,
no,
sir?
We are including all states,
all
except
states.
Except those states where there are strong parties which are already holding the BJP at bay.
Right.
But there are other states, and these are states in particular where the BJP is directly in conflict with the Congress as it is currently constituted.
Right.
There the BJP strike rate is 96% against right. the current right. Congress.
So
that is the bonanza of the BJP. It picks up its seats in those states.
So a final
obviously
question
there
to
is
you,
a
sir.
Need to mount a challenge right. where the BJP has a walkover.
Right. So a final question. While I understand everything that you have said about how the Trinamool has a right to be a pan-India force, the fact of the matter is that come the next national elections, more would need to be done to form a cohesive opposition. Given the fact that you have, or the Trinamool Congress has been poaching Congress workers, or perhaps Congress workers have been willingly joining the Trinamool Congress, how are you going to engage, or how is the Trinamool going to engage in any conversation with the Congress party?
Well, I don't know if I want to use the word poaching. That implies malafide intent. There are leaders in the Congress who believe that they would be better able to contribute with a platform which provides them a greater and more dynamic political role and helps to create a more effective opposition to the BJP. They are joining volitionally.
All right.
And we are not saying that there can be no electoral or strategic alliances with other political parties who are like-minded. Right now, the TMC is laying claim to a national presence in politics in opposition to the BJP, which is part of the mainstream nature of democratic politics.
All right. Well, sir, it's a big move for you. Congratulations. I wish you the very best of luck. Let's see, Pavan Verma and all his experience as a political strategist, a former diplomat, a political analyst, all of that sort of come to the fore in the Trinamool. What role? We'll have to wait and see. Thank you very much, sir, for being with us.